it's recording.
Yep.
Excellent. Thank you, everybody, for showing up. We're going to call the meeting to order. If we all stand for the Pledge of Allegiance, please. Pledge of Allegiance to the flag.
The United States of America.
And to the Republic which stands.
For which we stand.
One nation.
Indivisible.
With liberty and justice for all. All right, excellent. Can we get a roll call, please?
Mr. Alberta?
Here.
Thank you. Mr. Carlone?
Present. Present.
Mr. Roche?
Present.
Mr. Roche?
Present.
Mr. Gray?
Present.
Ms. Mancini Wright?
Present.
Ms. Orzetti? Orzetti? Al? Ms. Patel? Ms. Pertoso?
Excused.
Thank you. And Mr. Santos?
Present.
You have six people.
Who's wait. Who said excuse? I need a call for Ms. Pertoso.
Ms. Pertoso. She's been in the hospital and just got out of the hospital.
Oh, okay. You let the chair or mayor's office know. We can let that. Thank you. Additions, deletions, corrections, adoption of the agenda.
I have one correction. I gave my presentation last week. It's listed as number 7.8 on the agenda.
Okay. All right, motion to put a correction on that, motion to remove that.
I make a motion to remove the register of voters.
Okay, second.
Thank
you. Second.
Second, Chris.
All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? So carry. Thank you. Any other deletions, corrections?
Mr. Mayor, the transfer to fire department is from last year's budget, not this year's, that's coming up, correct?
All right, hang on one second. So, Louise, do we have a quorum right now? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Louise?
I'm sorry, I'm muted. We have 6 members. I believe you need, is it 8 for a quorum?
7.
7.
7.
Okay.
Sorry.
All right. So apologize for that. For the additions, deletions, we're going to go back and take that off. All right. We'll hold off to see if we can get somebody else on the agenda right now or for a roll call, please. If anybody has a number that they call one of the people that are not here.
Hello.
Seeing how we do not have a quorum, we're going to adjourn the meeting.
Oh, you have budget presentations that are on here that you can move ahead with those, and you can.
Well, those are just one, maybe.
Pardon?
Yeah, those can go forward. So we'll go to 7.7, police department presentation. Chief, you on?
Yes, I am.
There you go. You can present to the board.
What's the pleasure of the board? Do you want me to go line by line, or do you want to ask questions on anything you may have, or what would you like me to do?
Hi, Scott. This is Roberto. I prefer if you go line by line, please.
Sure, no problem. All right. I assume everyone has the budget in front of them.
All right. Yeah. Scott, I'm just going to hold you off one quick second. Really.
So sure.
We're going to adjourn the regular meeting, and then we're going to go to the budget presentation part. So,
and it's all... It's all part of one meeting.
All right. So in case somebody shows up. All right. Then we'll continue, Scott. I apologize for that.
No, no problem at all. I do not have the budget that I could share on the screen. Does anyone want to share it, or you just want to go off paperwork that I assume you all have?
I'll get it. I'll put it up, Chief, for you.
Hold okay. On.
You were on TV. You were. I was watching.
But what is that thing up there?
That's the pool. That's where you were. I was watching you. You're getting better.
Everybody can do me a favor. Can we put ourselves on mute if you're not presenting, please?
In demo, I mean, we're going to police department presentation. Hey. We don't have a quorum, so you could probably sign off.
Yeah, listen, I apologize. I'm covering the community center. My person called out.
Yeah.
I'm stuck, and I got people walking through the doors like crazy. I'm trying to do both.
No, that's go ahead. So department heads could leave. We don't have a quorum right now, so we'll just...
Yeah, all right. So I could come back next time, correct?
Yes, sir. Absolutely. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, all right. I'm jammed up.
Mayor.
Right, thank you.
Dennis... Mr. Mayor, Dennis is scheduled for his presentation after the police department.
We don't have that. We have, I have the police department.
No, he's scheduled. We got these last week.
Listen, I don't think I'm going to be long at all. I can do it. But again, I got traffic here that I'm dealing with. It's okay. I'll get through it. But will you people get through it with me? That's what I'm worried about. You know, are you going to be not happy with, listen, it's the Parks and Rec budget. It's not big.
No, I got it, Dennis.
I'll tell you whatever you need to know. What do you want me to do?
All right, hang on. Let the chief start with his, and then if you could hold off. Or just,
okay.
You know what? I'll text you. I'll text you to get back on.
Okay, I'll get back on. Thank you. Bye.
All right, go ahead.
Yeah, okay. So the first eight lines are all payroll lines, pretty self-explanatory. The increase this year is due to a 2.5% contractual pay raise. Lieutenant's wages refers to the actual title of deputy chief, and detective sergeant wages are our two lieutenants. Just, I know that always confuses people. So any questions or any issues on those first eight payroll lines? If not, the next line, the $40,000 police training wages, that covers our overtime and instructor pay for annual recertification of all our sworn officers, which is mandated by state law. No increase in that line. Outside work wages, $175,000. That is a pass-through line. It is booked on both the revenue and expenditure side. Basically, all that is startup money, if you will, to make sure our officers get paid in the first few months of the fiscal year when they're working for third-party companies directing traffic on the road, things like that. School traffic wages, that is for the four school crossing guards. at the elementary schools. There's no increase there. There is no increase in secretarial services. That is for my secretary. I will just say, however, that should there be an increase in the City Hall union contract, it's up for negotiation. It's not budgeted in my budget. Differential wages, that is a contractual hourly stipend for officers that work 4 to 12 and 12 to 8. There's no increase there. Officer in charge, also a contractual stipend for patrolmen that act in the place of sergeants when no sergeants are available. Sick time cash out, that is by contract, officers are allowed to sell as much as 15 days back of their sick time should they meet certain qualifications. That's a rather large drop this year because we had a lot of senior officers retire, so we did not have a lot of officers to purchase back sick time this year. And then the community outreach wages, I just dropped that down to $3 to even it out, but that pays for the overtime for our community policing events such as coffee with a cop, touch a truck, when they buy ice cream for the children, things like that. They teach at the high school, middle school. So that pays for the overtime for those events, which are, I think, pretty important for the community. Overtime wages. We kept this flat again this year. Really, it's just a historical projection of the cost for manpower replacement when we have to meet minimum manpower and officers take their time off. The clerical janitor wages, those are also union contractual positions. You do not see an increase in that because their contract is set to expire. But again, I just caution that should that actually be settled with a raise, it's not in my budget. The accreditation manager, which is also highlighted, same type of thing, although that is not a union position. What we normally attempt to do is ask the Board of Aldermen to give the same raise to these civilian employees that the union employees get. The accreditation manager is a position that we put in last year in response to the police accountability bill that was passed in the state that requires all police departments to achieve state of Connecticut accreditation by a certain time frame. So she's working on that and she's doing a great job, but well, she's not, the project is not complete and it won't be for a few years. Along with that, the accreditation software is a state mandated software platform that we must use to actually get the accreditation documents uploaded for the state. That's a recurring yearly cost. Longevity wages, again, this is a contractual item that pays officers a small stipend for extended years on the job. That dropped a little bit because, again, we had a lot of senior officers retire. FTO and color guard, that stayed the same. Again, that's a stipend for officers, contractual stipend for officers that function in a field training officer capacity or that attend a minimum, I believe it's 3 color guard or honor guard events throughout the year. They get a small stipend. Administrative overtime that pays mainly for our janitor to come out and when City Hall is closed in a snow event, which doesn't happen a lot anymore, but if he's off on a weekend and it snows or something like that, he gets paid overtime to come in and clear the sidewalks. Police commissioner expenses, that's been the same for years. Basically, that allows them to attend their when they do it, their police commission, for lack of a better word, banquet or statewide convention, whatever it is. And they also sometimes purchase flowers for officers' wives if they're sick or fruit baskets, that type of thing. Recording secretary fees, that is to pay my assistant to attend the police commission meetings throughout the year. There's no change there. Telephones, no change there. That pays for department cell phones, all the cellular modems for the in-car computing systems, things like that. There's a slight increase in our air heat maintenance contract. That's self-explanatory. Our copying machine contract, we just renegotiated it for a better price, so we're able to drop that $1,000. Our radio maintenance contract, it covers our car radios, our portable radios, and our dispatch stations, our base stations. That goes up nearly every year by a small percentage. So that's why there's an increase there. Yankee Gas and Water Company, self-explanatory, those stay the same. New England Chiefs of Police, CPCA, and IACP, that's the Connecticut Police Chiefs Association and the International Association of Chiefs of Police. Those are organizations that both myself and Deputy Chief Grogan belong to, and those are the membership dues, if you will. The 1033 program is pretty much no longer allowed, but that just never came off the budget line. Contingency fund remains at $1,000. That just is a stipend for unforeseen expenses that there's really, when there's really no other place to plug them in. The South Central Criminal Justice Administration, that stays the same again. That's a professional membership that we belong to. They do all of our hiring, our promotional testing, and training, executive level training for both myself and the deputy chief. physicals and pre-employment, again, stays the same. That pays for new hires and lateral transfers to get physicals, psych examinations, polygraphs, etc. Police canine expenses. I left that in there, and it's up to the board how you'd like to proceed with that. We currently do not have a K-9. Our K-9 officer left the agency. However, I left that request in place because the intent of the department is to get another K-9 and get another officer trained. But certainly if the board feels more comfortable putting that to zero and possibly setting it aside in the working balance or something, I have no problem with that. The PSPP insurance, that pays for legal representation for all of our sworn officers in case they're sued in a major incident for things that would not be covered by the city. Education reimbursement, again, briefly, there's a slight discrepancy in this. That is a contractual obligation where officers are allowed to take college courses that meet certain guidelines. Mainly they're, you know, criminal justice related. If they successfully pass those courses with a C or better, they can get reimbursed by the city for the cost of those courses. I believe the mayor's budget took about $9,000 out of that. I did talk to the chief of staff, and he believes that was an error, but I just want to bring that to the board's attention that if that number does not remain at $11,078, without a doubt, there'll be a labor action because it's a benefit they get by contract. Exams, $1,500 stays the same. That pays for the hiring and promotional exams for our police officers. Police training and development pays for fees for attending training outside of the department and cost of purchasing training equipment. Fire extinguisher repair just pays to have our extinguisher certified every year. Police vehicle maintenance remains the same. Obviously, self-explanatory. traffic light maintenance. It pays for nearly nothing, but the city owns the traffic light at Atwater at Seymour Avenue and the blinking light at Academy and High. And for that amount of money, it really doesn't pay for any repairs other than possibly buying some old incandescent bulbs for the High Street intersection. But it stays in there. It's usually never spent. Generator maintenance, that pays for our whole building generator, two-time a year maintenance program, as well as our command post generator and our portable generators for the yearly maintenance. Police vests, that is a federal matching grant fund. City puts in 900, the feds put in 900, and we purchase vests for both our new hires and when we have the opportunity, cyclical replacement of older vests in the department. Uniforms, self-explanatory, no change there. Prisoner food, it basically pays for McDonald's for our prisoners. Traffic signs, new signs, posts, hardware, etc., self-explanatory. Office supplies and community outreach supplies, there's no requested change there. The community outreach supplies basically goes hand in hand with the community outreach overtime. It buys t-shirts for the kids. It buys food. If we have like a Boy Scout troop come in to visit the police station, promotional items, things like that. Our radio repair, it's a very small stipend to cover things that are not covered by the radio repair contract. Police station maintenance, repairs in and around the building. Computer maintenance, it covers our servers. It covers our body cameras, both the maintenance and licensing. It covers just about everything except hardware. It covers most of our subscriptions for our computer-aided dispatch, things like that. Drug testing, that is both for our random drug testing and state-mandated steroid testing, which again came to us courtesy of the Police Accountability Bill 2 years ago. Ammo and firearms, basically that pays for our ammunition to train 4 times a year. Our employee assistance program, that did go up about $900. The employee assistance provider that we used to have went out of business. They sold their practice to a Massachusetts-based company, which has picked up most of the state of Connecticut, and they are obviously a little bit more expensive. That's why that went up. And then finally, the recorder service contract, that records both our telephones and our radio transmissions, and it pays for the maintenance and upkeep of that. So the bottom line is, you see it's about a 0.84% increase in the ask, which I believe is about $46,000, something along those lines. Are there any questions that I can answer on that budget?
Hey, Scott, it's the mayor. So
yes.
Education reimbursement, is that the number of officers that are actually right now doing classes, or is that per contract? I know you said something about the contract where we have to have so much money in there, but do we know how many officers are going for classes for reimbursement?
Yes, we do. There's two officers that are going, that are pursuing classes towards their master's degree. And those two officers, this would, by contract, they have to declare their intent to take classes by December 31st of the current fiscal year, which they did, and request reimbursement for the following fiscal year. But no, they're not currently taking those classes.
But that's about the money that you're thinking it's going to cost.
Well, no, it's in the contract, and the way it's based off of the credit hour rate at the University of New Haven for master's degree courses. So they could go to Yale, that could be five times that, but they only get reimbursed at the rate that UNH has it.
Okay, thank you. Anybody else on the board have a question for the chief?
I just have a follow-up question to what you just asked, Mr. Mayor. Is there consideration, because it's contractual, to give the department required proposal?
Is that for the chief?
No, that's for you, Mr. Mayor, because the chief had just gave you a good explanation regarding the educational mandates by contract. Is that something that's going to be considered to your budget, or?
Well, yeah, that's why the department had to explain that. I was wondering if they had enough in there, if they had, how many officers were going into. I just wanted to know how many officers were doing that. So if he's comfortable with that number, that's good by me.
Okay, thank you.
This is Jennifer. I have a question. Yes. Would you be able to put together what you think would be reasonable, and we could put in a special working balance for the union raises? We have to account for them because they're going to be there.
I would be very hesitant to do that. It's kind of suggestive, if you know what I mean. If I were to think that another, speak for another union and what they may or may not get, I would defer. I would prefer to defer to the mayor's office on how they would like to handle that.
Okay, because we have to account for something. We know, you know, there's a good possibility, so we don't want to come up short later on.
No, absolutely. I mean, Chad, if you look at the history, I mean, it's, they're averaging, especially with the unions and stuff like that, anywhere from like 1.5% up to 3.5%. So it's basically what we're kind of looking through or for.
Okay, because I don't think that some of these actually had it in there, correct?
Well, the clerical is like, it's only, how many, Scott, what do you got, about 5 or 6 for the clerical?
We have 3 part-time records clerks, our custodian, and my secretary.
Right, so that'll be minimal. So that's something I'm sure we can put in a working balance or special working balance.
Okay.
And then Scott with the canine, so that 3,000. It's an interesting one. I know what you're talking about. We can put that in work and balance. It's a big number. I know a lot of the towns, businesses, and stuff like that support that. I mean, that's something this board should really think of. I don't know if we're going to go back into that program, but it is a great asset. But it is expensive to the town.
Yeah, I have a question for the chief. Is there any pathway to getting the canine that you started already? Or would, when there's a necessity to have a canine for special actions, do we utilize canines from other towns, surrounding towns?
So our intent is every time around this time, the federal government comes out with a justice assistance grant, which is the grant we used to purchase our last canine. We're waiting for that to come out, and the intent is to pursue that grant to pay for the program again. So there's no cost to the city. The cost to actually purchase the dog, do the training, purchase the equipment is roughly $30,000 to $35,000. That, again, assuming the federal government comes out with that grant, which they have for the last at least 10 years running, that's where that money would come from. But to answer your question on other municipalities, yes, we would call another municipality and ask for assistance, but there are, it can be rather infrequent where you can actually find a municipality that has a canine working. It's hit and miss.
Okay. Is that at our expense, or they just donate their time for the canine?
It's mutual aid agreements. They would come here, and when we had a canine, if they needed it, we would go there, and it's just it's a wash.
Okay. Thank you, Fred.
Chief, this is Mike Gray. I have a couple of quick questions for you as well. The 175 for the outside work, my recollection is that, as you said, that's a pass-through, so it ends up becoming revenue, which comes in from the companies that are the contractors that hire police. Is that correct?
Yes. So there is a slight percentage. Well, I shouldn't say slight. There is a percentage that gets tacked on top of the costs for our officers that goes back to the city, but that percentage pays for things like the city's contribution to our pension, pays for workers' comp insurance, things like that. When all that is said and done, I believe there is still a small percentage of money that technically possibly could be considered a profit to the city, but there's other things you have to consider, such as the use of city vehicles, use of city fuel, things like that, is not completely broken out very well.
Okay. So what would constitute overtime for an officer outside of that work? We have $342,000 budgeted for overtime. And I'm just wondering what kind of work that is, what the difference
is. That is actual shift work. So that is if someone calls in sick and we have to meet our contractual minimum manpower, we have to hire someone back at a time and a half. So that is basically what the yearly projections are to get that done.
Right. So that leads me to my next question, which is, you know, I realize it's difficult right now for departments not only to recruit and get officers, but also to retain officers. What are the staffing levels like for you? Are officers having to cover more often just because maybe you don't have enough, or is it really due to whether there's an officer who's injured and might be out on workers' comp or illness or vacations, things like that?
All those things definitely play into it. We were extremely short-staffed for a long period of time this fiscal year. We had 6 sergeants that retired. We had, I believe, 3 patrolmen that retired, or 2 patrolmen that retired, and we had a chief of police that retired. So we lost about 38% or something like that of our department this year. So you are 100% correct. It's been very difficult nationwide recruiting and retaining police officers. So we win a good majority of this fiscal year so far short officers. We are still currently short 2 officers. We have 1 coming out of the academy next week, but that doesn't even account for him. I have 2 vacancies that we have not even yet filled. So our officers are doing a very good job, and we're trying our best on the management side to unfortunately keep the staffing closer to minimum manpower, because that money goes quick, especially if you have a major incident or something along those lines. But yes, it also covers vacation time coverage and workers' comp coverage, things like that.
Okay, great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Any other questions for the chief?
I just have one on the utilities. Are we allotting you enough for utilities, seeing what the Yankee gas prices are nowadays?
Knock on wood, we've been lucky. We've actually had normally a little bit of surplus in there that we've been able to return to the city over the years. So we've never had to come back and ask for more.
Okay.
Anything else? All right, Scott, thank you, Chief.
Just one, if you will, Mr. Mayor, one additional thing. I just want to mention the auxiliary budget as well, which, unfortunately, my mistake, I do not have that in front of me, but it's no change from the past several years. For those that don't know, the auxiliary police officers are volunteer officers that that assist us in major events like 4th of July, fireworks, Memorial Day, football games, traffic direction, things like that. Thank you, Mark. So what this budget does is pays for instructors to actually teach them. They get instruction in first aid. They get instruction in self-defense, traffic direction, hazmat, things like that. It also pays the admin costs. You see, it's poorly worded, but it's been that way forever. We just never changed it. But as you see in the substantiation, the instructor wages are for our in-house officers that are certified instructors. The administrative costs are for instructors from outside the department. That mainly is people that teach EMS instructors that teach the first aid, because we don't have any of those. Vehicle maintenance, they have two vehicles that are passed down through the years that are quite frankly rather old. Normally they have excess of 100,000 miles on them, and they really are only used for stationary traffic direction events, but that pays for their repair and maintenance. It's rather small stipend, and then the biggest one is for their equipment. They need uniforms, they need flashlights, etc. So that number, 17,605, you get a big bang for your buck out of that, because without our auxiliary police officers, all that would have to be paid for by full-time officers working overtime. It's a program that most agencies don't have for a lot of reasons, but without it, I think we'd be in trouble.
And Scott, I think if the more some agencies and towns use it as CERT, the civilian, what is it? Civilian emergency response team or something like that, where they are dressed as civilians, but at least ours are dressed as officers. So it's yes. Basically like the same, right? The CERT.
Same type of thing. Yes. It's actually very tough to get people to do this nowadays. We're down to probably under 12. We at one point had like probably close to 30 auxiliary officers. And of the 12, there's a few that aren't really active. So this is going to continue, unfortunately, to go away by attrition most likely. But at some point, the city's going to have to decide what they're going to do. But right now, for that 17,000 and change, it's a program that's well worth it.
Oh, absolutely. It definitely is. Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there any other questions?
Oh, yes, I have one, Chris. Is there any talks of bringing the supernumerary, the part-time officers back in like more than what you have now? I think you only have one to fill in spots to where if their full-timers are on leave or vacation or such, they could fill in for them instead of a full-time duty officer?
Yeah, that program, and Chris, it's a great question. That question comes up a lot, but that program pretty much was allowed to die in the vine because of the fact that it is not cost-effective, because these officers have to attend the same academy that our regular officers do. And once they go to that academy and get that certification, they get grabbed up by other agencies. It's a no-brainer. They're going to go there and get a full-time job versus a part-time job. And then basically the city of Derby just paid for another agency's training. So unfortunately, it doesn't make a lot of fiscal sense to try to reinstate that program.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Any other questions for the chief? No. Scott, thank you for that presentation.
You're welcome. Thank you all.
Thank you, Scott.
You're very welcome.
All right. I do not have anything else for presentations. The other one I had was my list here, the agenda.
Dennis is here.
Well, Dennis is back. Okay.
Dennis is back.
My agenda doesn't show it to you, so I apologize, Dennis. Maybe I have an older one.
What? But if, I don't know. So what? That doesn't mean anything, does it?
No, it doesn't. You want to present? Yeah. If the board doesn't mind, go for it.
Yeah, well, sure. Yeah, I'm ready. I'm up. Are we ready to go?
Yeah, Dennis, what department are you in, please?
Parks and Recreation.
Thank you.
5100. I don't know if that matters to you. 5100, 5200. Do you guys have my...
It's on the screen.
Huh?
It's on the screen.
Yeah, okay.
I just got it in my hand.
All right. Okay. Do you want me to start, or
yeah, if you can go by line.
Go by line by line. Okay. So go for it.
Okay. So all right. So we're gonna start with page one, right? All right. Parks and Recreation, 2324, page one, wages and payroll. You got it. Everybody's good. I don't know what to I can explain of parks director wages is me. I'm a part-time employee, 32 years on the job. The supervisors are the people that work at the community center, and they supervise the center. They're the ones that open in the morning and they close at night. The attendants, which is the next job, is the persons that work at the community center, then they fill like an afternoon, late morning, afternoon section of time at the community center. They get paid less. The supervisors are mostly here when this place is a little bit more hot and heavy. so they command a better wage. Lifeguard, they guard the pool. We don't use them a real lot right now because we are inundated with a real lot of swim lessons. So right at this moment, I have four swim teachers in the pool. So they are pretty much dominating the pool and for a real good thing that we do, which is teach kids to swim, and that happens to be the best thing we do. So and that program's going terrifically. Building maintenance are the custodians. We have three of them that cover the community center. They split 20 hours. Okay, we got an 8, a 6, and a 6. Playground wages are the summer camp kids up at Bradley School that work our summer camp playground. There's three of them and a director, four total. Okay. That's not what we wish for. We wish for more. But that's what we have, and that's what we're going to make do with. The next line item is Whittick Park maintenance. And you'll see that, some of the things that I listed were the field itself that we, there's two soccer fields there that we maintain. There's other amenities up there that we maintain. It's a beautiful park. It's very well kept. And we budget $9,000 a year for the park. It includes a state-of-the-art watering system. And we get our water right out of the reservoirs. So we don't pay for water, which is nice, a great expense that we miss out on, and which is good. But the system is rather, it's a large system, and it handles a lot of acreage up there. So again, we're asking for $9,000 for that. Okay, so the next line item you're going to see is 5100-330-0330. Now, this is our primarily our maintenance line item, 0330. And you can see the things that I've listed as the expenses that we prepare for with this line item. I'm asking for $21,000. The big ticket items in this line item is our boiler at 35 Fifth Street, which is in Parks and Rec. It's in my part of the building. So I budget for it and I maintain it because we have the Board of Education in the building as well, but they're upstairs. So the boiler's mine and we budget for it. What else can I tell you about in those line items that there's several items, the kinds of things that we encounter oftenly, and I think I list them pretty much as to what they are and what we kind of need for them. Is there any questions in regards to that line item that I can answer? Are we okay with that line item? Is there any further information that you need to make?
Self-explanatory. Thank you.
Okay. The next line item is 5100-330-0331. And these are some of the supplies, okay, that we ask for and that we use in a given year with the Parks and Recreation Department. They include portable toilets. We have a water cooler in our health club at the community center. We have a pool, obviously, that commands a hefty amount. It's an expensive amenity, I'm sure, but we do have a pool and a very busy one, I might say. We have storage containers, miscellaneous building and cleaning supplies. We Parks and Rec, we service, I don't know, about 8 locker rooms. We use a lot of toilet shower room supplies. And then we have field maintenance supplies, which is a little less than it's ever been because we have turf at Ryan Field. So that used to be a line item that we would ask for more money, but we cut that down a bit because primarily we worked with our Bradley School facility in Wittig Park. The turf eliminates a lot of need for a lot of these things in this area. The field paint is we have to paint the fields. We don't paint Ryan Field anymore, so we're saving money there again. But we do paint our soccer fields and our baseball fields at Bradley and Wittig. So that is, we're asking for $20,000 entirely for those mentioned items in the service supply budget area of Parks and Rec. We're going to move on to office supplies. Three items there, our telephone and computer. We have an alarm system, and then office supplies would be paper, the basic office supplies. $4,000 for that line item. On to recreation equipment. This is like a catch-all kind of thing where things that come up that really kind of maybe don't sit accurately in some of the other line items. You can see what we, what kinds of things that we use this money for. Okay, signs. I only budgeted $550. The last sign that I bought cost $2,100, and it was from Ryan Field. I'm not sure that we need any right now. So I'm not going to worry about that number. Maybe we won't need a sign this upcoming season, but I don't know. But those are, you'll see the things that we've listed in that line item. Any questions about any of that? And that's $3,000 total for that. On to the programs. These are the programs that our kids play in. All right. Derby Cope Baseball used to be Derby Ray Babe Ruth Baseball. It's the baseball age group 13 to 15. We do have that age group. We lost it for several years where we didn't do anything for the 13 to 15s. Those kids were basically playing in travel programs. We couldn't facilitate it on our own with the numbers in this town. I'm talking about numbers. Numbers are the amount of kids that sign up to play. So we kept a few things at $1 in case, you know, we ever revitalize these programs. Girls softball is also covered in Little League. So Little League is covering the 13 to 15 age group now, okay? They kind of intervened and took over that age group. So I probably could eliminate this $1 thing, which I don't even know why I'm talking about. It's $1. But anyway, it's there for you to see, so I'm talking about. So soccer, we give them $3,000. Little League gets $8,000 from the city. Pop Warner is good. We're asking for $6,000. That's up a little bit. They're trying to reestablish that program. We want to help them. They're working hard to reignite that program. So we're asking for $6,000 for them. Wrestling, we don't have any more. That's $1. Games, arts, those are the supplies for the summer camp program. Okay. And then we're asking $2,000. The next line item is recreation 14 through 18. Okay. So what that is it's high school aged kids who, we asked for some money. So what I'm going to tell you, what I did with that money last year was I gave $500 to a boys basketball team that went down and got in a league in Bridgeport. It was basically the Derby High School basketball team. Okay. They played in the summer league and we gave them $500 for that. And we also got involved with a running program that started last summer. In Derby, it's like a cross country parks and recreation program, and we facilitated that as well. So that money we used to help start or to take a group of youth in our city that are of high school age that really aren't covered in any of the other program money, okay? Because those kids are younger. But we don't want to forget about them, and we want to intervene and provide some things for them if they find something they want to do. So that's what that money's for. It's only $1,000. So, but when we get to use that money, it comes in pretty handy and is very much appreciated. Youth basketball is our bitty basketball program, boys, girls. We're asked for $5,000 in that for that line item. Any questions so far? Okay, so that completes our budget is two part. That completes our first part. That's the old Parks and Rec budget forever, and now we get on to the newer budget, which is a result of our new complex, Payton Fieldhouse in Ryan Fields. So that's the 5,200 budget. Okay. All right. So this budget, I don't even know if I'm really well versed in the other one, but I'm certainly not really well versed in this one. This is still kind of new to me. And I don't know as much so far that maybe I should, but I'll explain as best I can. We have our custodial services for the field house. We have two of them. We have one that is more or less a supervisor that custodian also gets involved with the mechanical contracts and the contractors that we bring in to do the work up there. There's about eight of those. So we have one of our custodians is, his part of his job is to communicate and coordinate with those contractors. The other one is strictly custodial, okay? So, and by the way, these people are new to us. So we had a stretch where we really weren't full staff in this regard. We are now, and we got some pretty good persons involved up there. So we're really thinking that things are going to level off pretty good, and we're going to be okay. Not, we're not okay, okay? There's nothing wrong, and there's nothing up there that's broken or not working. It's just that it's a new place, and we're learning a little bit all the time. And, you know, we had some personnel issues that are rectified at this point. I'm going to go down to the expenses that we asked. We have a boiler, plumbing, you know, a significant boiler. However, it's brand new. Remember, all this stuff is brand new. So these numbers are not really, they're not large at all, I don't think. The idea is to get through a year really hoping that you don't need any of this stuff because the building's 3 years old. But we can't not prepare for it. And so we do. Okay. But these numbers are low. This is not a lot of money. The grounds upkeep, we do have some grass area around the field house and whatnot. So we do ask for $2,000 for the maintenance of that area. We're going to go down to, okay, this is Ryan storage containers at Ryan Field. We have two garages up there that we asked for $1,000 again. They're new too. They're not old, and, nothing's wrong with them. And we haven't really had to do anything, maintenance wise, but again, we need to prepare, and that's what we do. But I ask for $1,000. Building and cleaning supplies, equipment, the same stuff that we asked for through the community center. We've got four locker rooms and shower rooms in that building, okay? A weight room. I mean, you guys know what the place is. It's a beautiful place. And again, we don't ask for a lot of money, again, because we think, from our end, we think that this place is brand new, and there better not be something expensive that goes wrong. If they do, we'll find a way. But we're not going to budget for something in that regard. We're going to budget for emergencies or things that pop up, which shouldn't be too expensive. All right. The last part of that budget is some of the expenses that these are the big expenses of the field house. You'll see that for gas, you know, it's at $15,500. So that's number, that's the biggest expense of that building. Fire and burglar, $5,800. We, you know, the sprinkler system, the concession stand has, you know, has the state of the art stoves, and you know, those things are need to be 100% always working properly all the time. You know, no deviations. So, you know, we need a decent amount of money to maintain those things the way we want to. I don't know what else to tell you. Mechanical contracts, which we're not really doing a lot of so far, but we want to revisit them annually. What that means is right now we're not given like $10,000 to one of the contractors for without having anything go wrong, okay? You understand what I'm saying? This is upfront money that you pay just to have a contract, and then some of the things that go wrong would be covered and some might not be. But those things are very expensive. And this place is still pretty darn brand new. So I think we're going to revisit those things all the time. And I think in the future, it's likely that we, and listen, we have contracts with the elevator people, okay? So it's not like we don't have them, but some of these contracts are double digits, thousands, okay? And it's just money you pay for them to be ready to come, okay? So we kind of held off on some of those things, right? Good decision, bad decision, not sure. But that's what we did, all right? They are rather expensive. Okay. That's pretty much it, through all the line items. Ryan Field, huh?
Looks good, Dennis. I mean, also you're doing great on revenue over there too. So, which helps out.
Well, that we are. We're knocking them dead with our swim lessons. We came out of the virus. And wow. So we're taking in a lot of money. If the virus comes back, we're dead. We take in nothing, but we're doing it now. And hey, listen, a lot of kids are here learning how to swim. A lot of kids are here playing basketball too, but the swimming thing is the difference. Why we're getting that kind of revenue now. It's from the swim program.
So I'm gonna turn it over. Anybody from the board have any questions for Dennis?
Dennis, I have one. This is Roberto. I see that you have $15,500 for the proposed that you put down there, and the mayor's got $13,000. That's about $2,500 close to it, less on your gas for Payton's Fields.
Okay.
I'm just curious.
All right. I didn't know that, but that's, that's not a worry to me. I mean, you guys decide whatever you decided, if it ends up being 13.5, we're going to be okay. We're going
to
be okay.
All right, that's what I wanted to make
really
sure.
We're going to be okay. We're going to be okay. Listen, you'll see. You'll see that I also have like several transfers involved. Like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to do that. But I do that every year. Historically, if you were to look back at the Parks and Rec budget, we never spent all our money. It's really hard to pin some of this stuff down. We don't ever spend it all. We give back money every year. So I'm always moving money around when we get jammed up a little bit, and I'm doing that now. This budget, I'm going to be honest with you, the budget that we're dealing with right now was authored, I think, in December of 22? December 21 was the budget we're using right now. That's when it was authored by me, and it's a struggle. It's a big time struggle, and we're asking for the same kind of money. Okay, so I'm expecting a big time struggle, but so what? We're gonna do what we have to do, and you may see me in a year with 10 transfers, but that's what we'll do, and it'll be there. It always is. Okay, some things we prepare for don't happen. And some things do. And we'll be all right.
in order for me to get better clarity, also, I just wanted it to verify on your budget just now presented, you had $232,877 for the first part of your Parks and Rec. And on the paper that we have, it was $233,000. We're going to be short on that one.
Well, so can you decide to make it what it needs to be? I mean, well, listen, if we had a little math, we screwed up on the math. I mean, I don't know what to say. Certainly it's possible. I don't know. So what would be the remedy for this?
No, Mark, if you can, his proposal that's there that we didn't have beforehand, the one that you're showing, if you can get it to the board, and then we'll see on the department requested proposed $233,874 and compare to his presentation now of $232,877.
Okay.
That guy was an FBI agent, right?
What was
Thank
it?
You.
Okay. All right. Dennis, sorry about that. I mean, I don't even know what we... Huh?
No, Dennis, what I just requested as the chairman to get a copy to all board members of your presentation that we did not receive ahead of time in comparison to what we have received back in February 28th. That's outdated. And we haven't received updated information of proposed budgets up to date. So we're going to have to do our research with respect to your presentation that Mark Garofalo just presented with you and our comparison. So that's just all that we're going to do now.
Yeah, okay. So Would it behoove me to hook up with Mark and get these numbers straightened out and then report back to you guys so that you can cement it, kind of?
Yeah.
Yeah, all right. Is that okay with you, Mark?
Happy to help.
Okay. So we'll firm that up.
Absolutely.
All right?
And Dennis, you're in the ballpark.
We'll report to you. Huh?
You're in the ballpark, so this is great. So.
Yeah, well... Listen, we're close. I mean, sorry about that.
No. It's all.
I do not have an excuse.
Especially with the revenue that's coming in and everything, we're doing good. So.
Yeah, well, we're doing good, I think, and yeah.
Absolutely.
We'll keep doing good. All right. We'll firm that up.
Dennis, I have a question.
Go ahead.
How old is Peyton Field there? I mean, how the football field.
How old?
Turf? Yeah, I'm just wondering because I don't see anywhere where we're putting money aside. And what does that last for 10 years? And then we have to replace it?
Jen, you're like broken up. What are you saying? You got to speak up a little bit.
Yeah, no, I heard you, Jen. I got you, Jen. Yeah. Okay. So, well, you're right. You're right because I believe what's best. What's best is for us to create an account. I thought, you know, we were going to do this when Keith McLiberty was involved with finance. I had asked that we create a new revenue line item so that anything that we earned out of Ryan Field, we could put that money in there. And, you know, we probably earned probably $8,000 total at Ryan Field in our life here, in our existence so far, which is not a lot of money at all. Of course, listen, the place got built and the virus hit immediately. It was dormant for a year, okay? We couldn't even do anything in the place. You know, we fell behind the eight ball a little bit in that regard. We do have some persons interested. I have a football team that wants to play 5 games at our field. I don't know if they're going to make it because it's really hard
to, a lot of people think they're going to have a football team. And once they get to down to where they need to do the work, they say, oh my God, how am I going to do this? And, you know, so we have people, I am talking with people that should bring revenue to Ryan Field this year. Will they ultimately show up? I have no idea. Because that's kind of how this goes. A lot of people inquire as to sports facilities,
right?
And they just never make it. They can't put it together.
Absolutely. I mean, so it's lots working with the aldermen because the numbers are like kind of screwed right here. But we got to try to.
Shouldn't we, as a city, be putting something away every year? Because we're going to get whacked with one great big huge.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely, Jen. That's what we're trying to do with the capital and everything else. If we get some operation, get things going, we can do it. Any other questions for Dennis?
Yeah, this is Mike Gray. Just a quick question, Dennis. You had mentioned the mechanical contracts, and I totally understand not putting money up front for a facility that's probably only 3 years old. But are we at least doing preventive maintenance so that we're taking care of the mechanicals, you know, having the belts checked, filters changed, and whatnot, so that we don't end up 10 years from now, you know, some of this HVAC equipment or whatever is, you know, we didn't take care of it at all, and now it needs to be larger repairs.
Yeah. Well, I'm totally agreed that. So, you know, one of our new employees up there is a certified plumber, and he manages a very large facility. He manages the old AFCO Lycoming, and I don't know, some United States Army group that runs that building now. So this guy has quite a revenue. Resume. He has quite a resume. And listen, fell behind personnel wise for a little bit. We're 100%. Okay.
Right. I just want to make sure that we don't ignore it completely because it's new, you know?
We're
going to
make sure. Yeah. We're going to make sure. Okay. But those are the things. I mean, you know, we're on them. I can't promise anything and say that absolutely this will never happen. Of course not.
But no, yeah,
listen, Dennis, we're on it. We're on and, it.
And Dennis, Mike's a good, not you, Mike Gray, but Mike is a good hire. Like I said, he's mechanical and everything. So we did a top-notch hire.
Yeah, we're in good shape with him.
Yes.
We are. We're in good shape with this guy. You know, he's going to make things easy for us to contend with. You know what I'm saying? You know, we were in a little bit of a jam.
I appreciate it. Thanks for the answer.
Things are looking up. Things are looking up is what I'll say.
Excellent. Any other questions for Dennis? Any other questions? All right, hearing none. Dennis, thank you so much. You're doing a great job over there. Can't believe you're only getting paid.
Okay,
that
thank
much.
You. Yeah, whatever. No problem.
You're doing a phenomenal job.
No, it's not. Yeah, I'm all set. All right.
Your derby through.
Have a good one, everybody.
Demo.
Thank you, Dennis.
Yeah.
Can you?
Yeah.
I mean, I know there's not a quorum, but before you hang up, maybe you could explain your transfers. This way, it'll save time at the next meeting.
We don't have a quorum right now, so we're just going to do that on the next meeting. Right. Thanks, Demo. So anybody else? All right. I think that's it. We're going to go for adjournment. And thank you, everybody, for showing up. Hopefully, we'll get a quorum on the next one.
Hopefully.
Yep. All right, Mark, you can close up. I don't think we need a motion.
Do we have a motion to adjourn?
We only have a quorum, so I don't even know if we need one. What do you think, Mark?
This can't hurt either way, whatever your pleasure.
Have a motion to adjourn? Jen?
My motion.
All right, second.
Mike, I'll put it in a second.
Second, Mike.
Excellent, Mike. Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
All right. Adjournment. Hopefully we get everybody in here the next one. Thank you. Have a good night.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
7:17 p.m.